Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If you have any cell phones or any other devices that might be audible, if you put them on silent now, it's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. And if you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and
do you need to make any amendments to today's agenda, Mr. Wynn?
None that I'm aware of, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. We're going to move on now to item number 3. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of the agenda for this date, October the 4th, 2016. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion.
I'll move to approve today's agenda.
I'll second that motion.
Been moved and second to approve the agenda for October the 4th, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
My motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of the minutes for September the 6th, 2016. Any public comment regarding the minutes for September the 6th? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
Also move.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and second to approve the minutes for September the 6th, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5. This is our consent agenda for today. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
Wait a minute. So the... on the consent agenda, there is the bonanza.
Item B. For general and cabaret, it's not a standalone item. Do you still want disclosure on this, Madam PA?
Yes.
Okay. Before we go ahead and vote to approve the consent agenda, on the consent agenda, item number... this would be item 5, or V, as we see it. This is the approval of the licensing board first reading for the Bonanza Saloon General and Cabaret license. A local business to operate out of 27 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada. Tina Perkins is the applicant. For full disclosure, I am also a general business license and cabaret license holder on C Street in proximity to the Bonanza Saloon. I am no differently licensed than anybody else who's in competition on the main district there.
I also am licensed on C Street in Story County with liquor and cabaret licenses. And I also, my license is no different than any other in the community. And for this disclosure, purposes of the vote, please be aware that I hold those licenses.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment regarding the consent agenda? All right, that being said, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
We move to second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. All right, moving along now to item number 6. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. And so why don't we start first off, Sherry Nevin, Community Relations. Well, is that right? Okay, very good.
Good morning, Commissioner. Sherry Nevin for the record. Just a reminder that we'll be holding our annual health fair this Saturday from 9 to 3:30 at the Mark Twain Community Center. We'll have the Nevada Health Center's mammal van there, as well as various other health and wellness information. Of course, we'll have flu shots and other vaccines available as well. So please plan to join us. I'm still soliciting input for the Community Development Block Grant application. If anyone has any ideas for possible projects, I'm requesting that those come to me by October 5th, which is tomorrow, and we will work through those, determine some sort of eligibility, and then come back before you at your next meeting, October 18th, and give us recommendations to submit for a pre-application. So that's all I have for today.
Okay. Any questions for Sherry?
No. I want to thank you for putting on the flu shot clinic at the Senior Center in the day.
Great. Yeah, we have.
Looked like a good turnout.
We did. I think they did well over 50 here in Virginia City, and the week before in Lockwood, I think we did close to 40. So, and Nevada Health Centers did that for us.
Thank you, Sherry. Okay, the Story County Senior Center here in Virginia City, Nicole Barr.
Hi, I'm Nicole Bard, Chair of the Story County Senior Citizens Board of Directors. I'm here today to present to you the new Executive Director of the Senior Center. This is Stacy Gilbert. She accepted our offer. Stacy comes to us, it's actually another gift. Stacy essentially has been our representative from the state with the Department of Aging Services. And so she was very familiar with not just our center, but all the centers in the region, because she also works with them, so she comes with a great deal of experience. But more importantly to us, she knew our center, she knew what our issues were, she jumped in to help us when we were in a lurch, and despite, as I like to say, seeing us early in the morning, really, really felt that she could make a contribution and applied for the position. She's also a Story County resident, and we're so proud and so pleased to have her on board. So, again, this is Stacy Gilbert.
Thank you.
Do you want to say anything or have any questions for Stacy?
Yeah, and thank you for having me and welcoming me.
She'll be giving the updates from now on.
Very good.
Okay.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome,
thank you.
We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stacy. Speaking of community centers, we've got Lockwood Community Center. Mary Lee, are you here to report today? Very good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners, Pat, Ann. First of all, I'd like to present each one of you with a miniature version of what we gave you the last time I was here. One for Ann. Pat, we're expecting to get that you get the big one. So these are for everybody else. So let me pass these out, and that's just our fun section. I do have a report for the Senior Center when I'm done here. So
love that.
Thank you, Marilyn.
You're welcome. These are done with a stapler.
Thank you.
We did get a book stapler, but we were just so intent on getting something done. So those are your copies. And for those people that weren't here last meeting, we presented a large photo album to be used in the museum here of the 100-year anniversary that we celebrated down there. And the report I have for the community center is yesterday, three of us from the committee, from the advisory board, went to Home Depot. We knew exactly which cupboards we wanted and how we wanted them displayed in our kitchen. So we sat down with the designer and came up with a good plan for the 10-foot wall on the south side for the pantry that's needed for the lunch group. And casters will be installed on the bottom of that so we can move it from our access to the underneath of the building. And then we have a group of cupboards that's going around the sink. So all of those were yesterday. We spent the time ordering them, putting them in pictures on the wall and everything, and getting copies of those. I gave that whole package to Sherry today. Thursday, I'm going to meet with the guy that's going to be doing the measuring and get him set up there. I need to go back and get him set up at a reduced price. Thursday's their sale, so that's when I'm going back. Otherwise, it's $100. We're paying $49. So then he's going to call me Friday, and we're going to set up a date for him to come out and measure and get the install, and then he'll tell us how much the install is. We already have the price of the cabinets. She has that. Then we'll get the price of the install and get that package, the rest of that package, to Sherry, so we can turn it into our commissioner, who is going to see what he can do for us to get this done. So that's my report for this month. Any questions?
I guess not. Thank you, Mary Lee.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. Over at the Sheriff's Office, Tony Dosen.
Nobody to report.
All right. At, Community Development, Stacy Buccaneri. Okay. The Recorder's Office, Jim Chapman.
Nothing today, thank you.
Okay. How about over in Planning, Mr. Van Havel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jason Van Havel. Just wanted to let you know about a couple of things coming up. NDOT funded bike plans for every county in the state. The draft bike plan that they prepared for Story County is in its final stages of edits to make sure it's acceptable to the county, and they'll be asking for the commission to adopt that bike plan. So just heads up, that's going to be coming soon.
Does that mean they're going to widen the highways in order to put bike lanes in?
That's something that they're going to try to set as a priority, yes. And the solid waste management plan for the county is also in the process of being updated. It's 99% complete. There's a couple pieces of information that I'm still waiting to receive and incorporate into the new draft. And once that's complete, I'll be moving that forward for adoption as well. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Jason? No? Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Very good. Public Works Director, Mike Nevin.
Just a couple of updates on projects, the siphon project. In specific, the tie-in on the west side will likely be done later this afternoon. The tie-in on the east side, which is our responsibility, will be done probably tomorrow. We may have water flowing again in the siphon as early as Thursday, probably likely on Friday. Progress is progressing nicely. I try to get out there a couple of times a week and just make sure that things are going right, especially on our side of that line of responsibility. So Q&D is doing a fantastic job. So they're right on top of it, and we expect, like I say, water flow to be restored on Friday. The park project, a little bit behind schedule. Ran into some difficulties down there with some existing utilities that had to be relocated. Some of them we knew were there. Some of them were kind of a surprise to us and were buried underneath asphalt and such. But we're addressing those in the proper fashion. And then we hope to have the playground set erected, I'm going to say, by the end of next week if the weather holds. And I think it will. And then we'll move along with the paver portion of that project and get that done within the next couple of weeks is my hopes. The Cape slurry seal, that project started yesterday in Lockwood. The Canyon Way portion of that was done yesterday. Today they're out in the industrial park completing Denmark and a portion of Venice into the PetSmart facility there. Tomorrow they'll be in the Virginia City Highlands, and we've been in communication with those folks. We have the reader board signs posted for the notification of those specific project dates. And so they'll do the Highlands tomorrow, move into the Six Mile Canyon on Thursday, Friday, and probably finish that on Monday, and then in the Mark Twain Estates area. And then they'll follow back and hit the same roads for the slurry portion of that beginning next week. So we're moving along, and I guess we're starting to get ready for winter, too. We kind of had a little surprise yesterday morning. Didn't have to go out, but kind of prompted us to make sure we got snow plows ready to rock and roll when need be. So that's my report today. 1 minute.
Any questions for Mike?
So, Mike, do you have an update on the gazebo roofing out at the Highlands?
No, unfortunately, I do not, Jack, at this meeting, but I'll remember to incorporate that into our project list.
Thank you.
Hopefully get that accomplished before the snow flies.
Very good. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay. Director of Planning and Human Resources, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. A couple things today. One, probably a little more lengthy than I usually go, but I'll try to keep it pretty short here. The first one, pretty simple stuff. Our lands bill, the Lands Act of transferring land from Gold Hill and Virginia City over from the BLM to the county government and from the county government ultimately to the landowners of our area, is proceeding. I've had meetings with our Porter group, and I've also met with the Bureau of Land Management down in Carson City after a meeting that Pat and I had with the state director in Reno of the Bureau of Land Management. And really what I'm impressed about with the Bureau of Land Management in this case is after we met with the state director, there seems to really be a consistent communication going on in the different divisions of the Bureau of Land Management in this area for trying to help us get this done. And so they worked with me and gave some guidance, I'll call it, and just what to watch out for and what to do in Washington. And then they're going to do their own thing as far as the BLM and what they do in Washington. And hopefully working in a circle here, we end up meeting at the same place at the top. So that is moving forward. There is the potential for some bill language clarification and that sort of thing to try to get that public law that already exists to be a little bit more clear on exactly how we engage the transfer of land, how we deal with right-of-ways and easements, how we deal with unpatented mining claims, and stuff like that. It's moving forward, and it looks pretty optimistic. But there will be a lot of moving parts still to go. I want to remind the public that the United States Geological Survey will be giving their presentation once again regarding water monitoring out in the Highlands and in Mark Twain. That will occur this Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m. here at this location with the Planning Commission. It will be a duplicate of the presentation they give at the County Commission about a month and a half ago. So this is purposefully for those people that weren't able to take time in the middle of the day to attend. Lastly, I want to talk about something just for a little bit. So the Comstock Chronicle, I've been pretty impressed with a lot of the work they do. They've done a stellar job reporting on the master plan process. There's been a lot of things that they've gone through and articles about various things that I think are very well written, accurate, and well done. And so I was reading the latest draft of the Chronicle, and the title is, to make sure I get this right, is Oops, Story County Leaks Again, with a question mark. And the article following, and I'll read a couple excerpts from that, talks about Story County and how it apparently is leaking information, and you know, all these things are happening with regard to information that's getting to certain news sources around town or around the area or whatever. So I read that, and there were a couple concerns I had in it, and I'm prepared to address those. And then I look over next to it, and I like fishing, so I see a big picture of a fish. I'm like, well, yeah, hey, it must be a fishing article. So I go ahead and read about that, and it's not a fishing article. It is an article allegedly or alleging that Story County has a management team and a team as a whole that really is rotting from the head down. That is what it says, and that is actually what the title of it says. So it was at that point when I read that, I thought, you know, I probably ought to have a little bit of a response here, at least so the public, if nothing else, kind of have an idea what's occurring on our site. And I certainly don't believe that any member of our team, and certainly not our member, any part of our team, exhibits these sorts of things. So a little timeline on 09/18/16 Sunday. The Chronicle request information from my office about the alleged leak. Okay. And then Monday, 09/19/16, the Human Resources Office responds. Okay, no problem. What is about the time frame you need for certain information regarding this issue? And they asked for some policies and, you know, what are we doing about it? Are we looking into it? Pretty reasonable question. I don't think anything unusual, reasonable. So what's the allowable time? That Monday I got a response back. By Thursday, 09:22, that'd be fine.
Okay.
So by Wednesday, a day earlier, HR response and gives them what they need. And we did some review and all that. And here's kind of what the questions of the Chronicle were and what the responses were verbatim. And this is the email. One, does Story County have a policy for dealing with leak of confidential information? So I responded and attached. I said, see policy 031. And it does. It talks about these things and how Story County addresses people that would talk about not, you know, confidential information outside of the organization. Two, is there a policy? Does it outline the consequences to an individual found guilty of leaking confidential information? And the response, oh, and it says, may we have a copy of this policy? So on that time, please see a policy 1001, and that policy addresses those sorts of things as far as disciplinary action, various things that may occur in the county. Three, will there be any action taken by Story County to determine the source of the leak? So the response was, Story County is in the process of investigating whether an unauthorized leak of confidential information did or did not occur. It is most appropriate that a response to this question takes place after our investigation is complete. Okay. And then the next question, have there been past additional leaks or has leakage been confined to just these two matters pertaining to the sheriff's office? The response was, this topic may be tied to investigatory work currently underway at the district attorney's office. It's best if this inquiry is sent to the district attorney's office so that an appropriate response will be provided. And that's typically when we would defer to that office for something like this, if some type of confidentiality is involved. And then the last question is, who would investigate the possibility of a leak? Would it be the sheriff's office, courthouse security, or perhaps an independent investigator? So the response was, the type and structure of investigation would depend upon the issue at hand. The Story County District Attorney's Office is oftentimes involved in administrative investigations, and that office is involved in the case to which you refer. And then it says, lastly, your assistance in this matter is greatly appreciated. Thank you. That was from the Chronicle. So the reason I read these things is because these specific questions were put in that article of the Chronicle, and then the article says never responded to them. We couldn't get a hold of Story County people to talk about this. So I'm going to hit these timelines, and then I'm going to be done very quickly. The next Friday, 09/23/16, the Chronicle published the article. Here's a title and a title, and then a couple parts I'll read. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's too long. So I'll start with the UXBC leaks again. A portion in here. Story County, no one is willing or able to talk about this matter. Due to the lack of available information, it is impossible to answer the questions that are on everyone's minds. And then it continues with those specific questions that I've responded to. And then later on, right after those questions, it says these questions have been posed to the Office of the Story County District Attorney, Human Resources, and the County Manager in hopes that they might be able to shed some light on the matter or put us in contact with the individuals who can. We did. And then I'll read one paragraph from the, when an organization or state fails, it is the leadership that is the root cause. A fish rots from the head down article. Therefore, we look to our leadership to determine a healthy and appropriate course of action to identify and eliminate the individuals responsible for repeated leaks, which damage Story County, the citizenry, and the individuals involved. So I don't think I need to talk a whole lot about these things, but I just think it's important that our public knows that our entire team does, typically, and did respond to this article. And then afterward, the article comes out and says we didn't respond and puts the specific questions is inaccurate. I did contact the Comstock Chronicle and asked what happened here. They indicated, they said, we have your information, a positive response. Thank you for your prompt response. This will be in a series. It will be corrected in the next paper. The next paper came out. There was no mention of it. So that's it.
It's pretty interesting.
Do you want to divulge who the writer was?
I believe that one was, it was one or two people, but I want to be accurate. The fish article is by Lost Swanson, and then the Oops BC Leaks again is by Lost Swanson.
Okay.
I do believe that, well, let me not believe again, hold on. The inquiry came from Les Swanson. So my point is not to pick on the paper, isn't to go down that road, it isn't to dig up things, but I think some accuracy just needs to be at least brought forth, at least to our public. And I can't tell you how proud I am of the leadership of this county. I don't think we could attract companies like Tesla and Switch and things like that and do the things that we do that nobody else in the state of Nevada and very perhaps in the United States could do if we had a situation with the fish like is described here. That is certainly know what's occurring. So I'm proud to be here and thank you for your time.
Thank you for your report. And I think it's good that the public hear, you know, our side of the story on this. So, yeah. You want to comment on this?
I'm good at this time other than to validate everything Austin said. And I might add, too, our office fields a multitude of media inquiries. I'm not going to comment or opine on the credibility or veracity or integrity of the Cron or any other paper, but I will tell you there is a multitude of characteristics out there dealing with people like the New York Times, USA Today, Forbes magazine, you know, many of those national and worldwide publications. And I certainly would agree with Austin, some of the scope of the reporting is great, and I think, you know, anybody can read a paper and interpret as they would choose to. But I would also add, occasionally, just in our own personal and professional opinions, there are disappointments. You know, I don't think this is lump sum total for the Cron. There's a lot of good things about the Cron, just as there are about the other publication in town. But again, I appreciate Austin's stance and agree that, you know, we're damn proud of what we do. And we feel like we accomplish a lot, and that doesn't sometimes mean that, you know, we have to go out of our way to be the investigative, you know, team for any periodical, local or otherwise.
I have something to say on that, too.
Go ahead.
The interesting thing that I think that Mr. Osborne brings up today is that there's been a lot of different issues going on in Story County that are of interest to the community. We're getting a myriad and just multitude of public records requests. Just as Mr. Osborne was talking about these questions that came in the form of a public records request. So a public records request generally has, you have a period of 5 days, and many times these questions that people are asking, you have to get the information together at the same time you're doing your job. So sometimes it's going to take over 5 days, so therefore at that point, generally what happens is that we either get it done in 5 days, if there's additional, there was three different groups involved in the answers that Mr. Osborne was talking to you about in just this one specific article. And sometimes it takes a little longer, and I understand what Mr. Osborne is saying is that at times we'll get this information in and then it appears that we didn't get it to them. So the first thing I would say with all the record requests that are going on to Story County these days, be patient. Mr. Loomis has been very instrumental in gathering a lot of this information, but sometimes it does take longer than people expect because they don't know that there's 10 requests in front of them. And I also agree that I found with the media on, again, all the different issues. It's just not one issue in Story County these days. Every 3 days there's a new one. So then you have that one, then you get another one in 3 days, you get another one in 3 days. So I'm glad that Mr. Osborne did clear this up and the public knows exactly what's going on, because sometimes, as they say, things you read in the paper, you know, there's another side of the story.
And if I could just add just one closing comment, now that the district attorney is reminding me about the frequency and extent of public records requests, it does not only get frustrating, it's counterproductive to the successes and the programs that we have to operate. I find it ironic that this particular periodical references a fish when the public record would show what I think is nothing more than a fishing expedition to ask the county clerk, you know, for a specific records check of the last three items to occur in a given area. And the clerk was extremely prompt in responding. He didn't say, oh, I didn't mean that. I meant five. And I can tell you after the five comes in, I would suspect it'll get expanded to 10. You know, at some point in time, again, that triggers that 30-minute threshold that says we're beginning to devote extraordinary staff time for this, not to mention legal counsel and everybody else that we get involved now to make sure we're compliant. So it is frustrating, to say the least, to have to essentially call a timeout or spend a weekend or whatever you have to do to be timely in your responses.
But that doesn't mean that we don't do it.
Nope. I agree.
Commissioners, any comments on this? Thank you, Austin. Over at the fire department, Chief Ames.
Nothing to report, thank you.
Thank you, Gary. In the comptroller's office, Mr. Gallagher. It was mentioned earlier today that approximately 69 years ago at 2:30 a.m., a doctor walked in, used mother's maternity room, slapped her. Happy birthday, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A reporter once asked one of the most famous baseball players ever, Mickey Mantle, about his birthday, to which he replied, God, I would have known I would have lived this long. I would have taken better care of myself. Almost didn't get here, but things are doing very well. It's a pleasure to be here. With your consent, I'm going to schedule the first quarter budget versus actual for Story County and all of its funds at our next meeting. We've got a few journal entries to go, but I'll have that all out next week to all of our department heads, and we'll take a good look at where we are. I just did a quick run at it this morning, and I thought it looks very, very good. As always, our department heads are very cognizant of what their revenues are and the corresponding expenses, and for the general fund, for the most part, we are tracking, we would normally track at 25% since this is the first quarter. We're tracking at about 34% of our revenues, which is a slight increase over last year. And our expenses are at about 21. So the general fund is doing very well as long as with all of the general fund. So we should have some good news. Our annual audit is, this is about the time when we kind of discuss that. The field work is about 90% done. We have, you know, we always have that anticipation that since there's only one meeting in November, we try and get this thing out the first week in November. There are a couple items that are still sitting out there. They're both from the Government Accounting Standards Board. One deals with, of course, the abatements that we have to disclose this year. We're trying to gather that information to see where we can put that in there. It's mandatory this year, so there's nothing we can do about it. And the other is we have an actuarial accounting calculation that we have to do for, which is called OPEB, which is our health, vision, all these services for our retirees. So that calculation is still in the process. I'm hoping to get them on the ball by at least try and get it here the third week in October, if not by the fourth week, and then statements will be out, hopefully, and you'll have those approved.
Very good. Any questions for Mr. Gallagher?
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Hugh. Over to our district attorney's office, Deputy District Attorney Mr. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, Story County District Attorney's Office. We hit a milestone in the Malfitano litigation yesterday, so I just wanted to bring you up to date on that. As you know, Judge Wilson denied Malfitano liquor and business licenses for the Delta and Bonanza saloons. That was appealed to the Nevada Supreme Court. We have completed the response to their opening brief yesterday. The answering brief has been submitted. That means that Malfitano now has about 30 days to file their reply brief. It will then be screened by the staff of the Nevada Supreme Court, and they'll decide whether or not to schedule it for oral argument or possibly just do an order without an oral argument.
Business license on Bonanza, not liquor license yet?
Right. We did issue the business license on the Delta. We denied the business and liquor licenses on the Bonanza and the liquor license on the Delta. Okay. So that is the status of the litigation.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. District Attorney Langer?
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
County Manager Whitten?
A couple of real quick items, Commissioners. Just about 2 weeks ago, not quite, the governor held his annual economic development conference at UNR. It was extremely well attended. Dean Haymore was a very active participant in this, and he cornered me into driving a van with about 14 people in it while he narrated a tour on a Amador bus. So all told, we toured about another 75 or so people out through the industrial park, and these were regional and governmental leaders from all over the state as well as private sector folks. And as always, they were exceptionally blown away by everything that's happening out there, and we didn't even take them into the two big ones. So logistics just didn't allow. But it was a great conference from what I hear. I could hardly participate myself due to some other demands, but very well received. And thank you for always giving us the opportunity to come out into your neighborhood. So, and then the other thing is a small committee continues to go through the process of selecting our next public works director. We had some 8, I believe, applicants that could have been 9 apply, very high quality candidates. We continue to go through the process of narrowing the selection down. Like I said, it's kind of one of those when you've got a number of good candidates to pick from, it's a nice dilemma, a nice challenge to have, but we anticipate hopefully being able to make that selection and get public with it in fairly short order. The clock's ticking. We have only about 90 days, even a little bit less than 90 days before our current director, Mike Nevin, retires. So we want to get as much mentoring time, familiarization, orientation time as we possibly can with the incoming director. That's it.
Any questions for Pat?
No.
No. No. Quick? No. Thank you, Ms. Stevens. That concludes committee and staff reports. We'll move on now to item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action to public comment. Commissioner McGuffey?
Yes. The last NACO meeting, we pretty much covered a wide range of topics that are already in the works, and bills that, like the fuel indexing bill, that's still a all we did was touch base with it. It's pretty much a go with everybody. A lot of people followed our and Mineral County's lead with a 3-cent max recommended tax hike. Of course, that would be annually, but it's also an opportunity to lower the tax at the same time. But the state is pretty much. All counties are required to put this on the ballot. They were talking about a 6 to 7% or 6-cent to 7-cent tax rate hike, but they were going by percentages. Percentages confuse everyone, and so we came up with the 3-cent hike max. So you know exactly what you're going to pay. That money collected for all fuel, diesel. It stays in the county, and for Story County, we did, I think the number is 4 million gallons of
a diesel fuel, and that's primarily, that's all tri. And then they plan on building another a truck stop out there, so that number is going to just explode. It's a tax, but most of the people that are going to be paying it are going to be the truckers going through. We don't really generate that much fuel tax here. So that's the good thing. Thank you for Jason. Jason's been at the last two, we'll call it debates, call it political debates here in town, and one last night in Lockwood. And he was explaining it very well to everyone. So you know how to vote, whether you want to vote for this tax or not. The other big news is the Navy's proposing expansion three times the size of what they are now out north and south of Fallon. Mineral County's got the thing that bothers me about that is there's a couple. I've been all over this state. I've camped all over this state out in the desert, and there's hot springs out there. And there's a really nice place, called the Eagle Mine. It's been closed since the 60s. You can still go in it and check it all out. And then south of that is a beautiful hot springs with the cement ponds and all that. So it's kind of run down because the alkali eats everything up, but it's still a neat place, but that'll be closed off to the public. So I understand their need for more area for their new technology bombs they have to speak of, but at the same time, I sure hate giving up more land because we'll never get it back. You know, that's in the works. And then there was an overwhelming approval for NACO to join the National Wildlife or Wild Horse and Burro Rangeland Coalition as a general member to ensure the public concerns have a voice. So that's pretty big. So that's about all I got for today.
Great. Thanks, Chad. Mr. Gilman?
Nothing new, sir. Thank you.
I'd like to mention when it comes to Virginia City tourism, the last couple of weekends in Virginia City, 2 weeks ago, we had Street Vibrations that went on here. It's the promoter is Randy Burke with Roadshows in Reno. He's taken Virginia City under his wing for the past 15 years or so, and it's turned out to be a heck of a celebration up here. And I think it's probably turned out to be the biggest one-day event of the year on that Saturday, with just thousands of people and motorcycles and rock and roll. It was a great weekend for most of the merchants in town. Most of the comments that we get from the visitors who come into town, and a lot of them are repeat visitors, is that the hospitality that Virginia City offers and how they feel at home when they're here. And probably the biggest compliment we got was the sheriff's department about how all the law enforcement deputy sheriffs interact with our visitors, and how people can go ahead and get their photographs taken with the deputies on duty and that. And the crowd control, where they're taking care of the crosswalks on the main street to let herds of people cross back and forth after stopping traffic. And so, so big hats off to our local law enforcement for a job well done. So, and then last weekend, of course, our annual outhouse and undie race, which is pretty hilarious. The largest turnout we've ever had for participants. The attendance was a little light on the spectator side because the weather was a little bit adverse, especially on Sunday. But this is one of those events that's turned out to, from being a joke from a former county commissioner, Carl Larson, some 20-some-odd years ago, and has turned out to be one of Virginia City's premier fun events. Anyway, that's all I've got on tourism. And with that, we're going to move on now to item number 8. This is discussion and possible action. Story County to become a signatory to the Carson Water Subconservancy District FEMA risk charter that already exists between the CWSD, Federal Emergency Management Agency, Region 9, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, U.S. Geological Survey, U.S. Department of Interior, Bureau of Reclamation, State
NFIP coordinators, State Hazard Mitigation Office, and other partners to identify, assess, communicate, and plan for flood risk within the Carson River watershed, including portions within Story County, including but not limited to Virginia City, Gold Hill, American Flat, and Mark Twain, in addition to other jurisdictions already participating in the charter, including portions of Douglas, Carson City, Lyon, Churchill counties in Nevada, and Alpine County in California. Austin Osborne?
Thank you, Chairman, Commissioners. I'm going to step aside and let Ed James, he's the director from the Carson Water Subconservancy District, talk about the mechanics of the charter. I'll be happy to discuss how it might apply here in Story County and some of the projects we might be able to kick off. Come on up, Jim.
Great.
Thanks a lot.
Welcome, Mr. James. We see you so often now, maybe we should put you under, under committee or staff report.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure being up here. A little history of this. We have been, with Carson Water Subconservancy, working with our entities up and down on communicating and dealing with flooding. A lot of times I talk about water supply, but flooding is a huge issue in this area. And the historic pattern has been that sometimes FEMA would come in with a project with their plans in place. They'd hire the person, they'd come and do the study, and then give it to you and say, here it is. And we had a lot of concerns. In fact, there was a huge litigation between Douglas County and FEMA a couple years ago because of their changing of the floodplain. And we thought it was more appropriate that at the local level, we know what we want. The counties know what they need and the communications, and we have a community together. So years ago, we started talking with FEMA about changing their paradigm that we would meet their goals, that, you know, but we would do it at a local level, to ensure the local people had input. And we've been doing this for years. And in fact, when they came up with this charter concept of dealing with flooding on a watershed-wide basis, we'd already been doing this for 10 years. And so it made sense. And so we actually, working with FEMA, signed, we became the first charter in Region 9 because we are already dealing with flooding on a regional basis. And it really gives us an opportunity to say, hey, what do we want to do locally to then bring it up to the FEMA part as a partner. And so it's more of a partner. So it's not a requirement coming down dictating you shall do this and all that. It's more at a local level working cooperatively because, as you know, flooding doesn't follow county lines. It'll go where it goes, and the impacts are there. So it was more of a regional process. Carson Water Subconservancy is also a cooperative technical partner with FEMA. That means that we are able to go after grants. And once a year, we bring this group together that's under the charter to talk about what programs do we want to pursue in next year's funding. And all the entities bring their projects together, and then we put a grant together, subconservancy, that we then submit to FEMA. And we've gotten successful 7 of these in a row right now. And it gives an opportunity to deal with flooding. Now, I know that Story County has some issues with flooding, and there was talk about possibly in the future participating in that process. By signing this charter, it shows that cooperation is coming through. And again, it's going to be dictated more of what you want to see pursued in the future. But it really shows that cooperation, that we deal with flooding. And really the goal is to reduce the flood risk for the communities. If we can do that, that works with your community, we are all winning at the end. So that's kind of a summary of it. If there's any questions or Austin has some things, we can talk about in more detail.
Could this be a stepping stone for the WOTUS, Waters of the U.S.?
No. No, that's a whole different project and program, and that would not even fall under that. In fact, it's a whole different organization. That's with the Corps of Engineers and all that. This is through the FEMA process. Even though the Corps is a signatory to this, they don't dictate it. We direct it. We direct the meetings and where directions we go. So if you look at here, nothing in this agreement says you will be or required to agree to or follow any of these federal programs. And the one you're talking about, there is no support. Subconservancy submitted a letter objecting to that whole process, and we gave issues of why we thought that what was being proposed did not meet the ultimate goal and protect the citizens of our watershed.
And a question on everything that we get of joining this. Is there any financial impact to Story County?
There is not, unless you want to put money into the program. Again, you're going to be dictating this. If we go after a grant, there may be some things where you say, we would like you to go after a grant. We would tell you to go after that grant on your behalf. There may be some time and staff at that point, but you've already decided that is something you wanted to commit to because you thought it was important enough to your community.
Very good. Well, also, we've got the staff summary here. Did you want to weigh in on any of this?
Thank you, Mr. James. A couple things. You know, I'll start with a little bit to Commissioner McGuffey's concerns. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the makeup of this district, what it's made up of. I think we're 12 members, if I'm correct on that. But there are members that include county commissioners, local, it's kind of like NACO, and they also include some private industry, mainly farmers. Most of the people that are on the district are people that are orientated toward farming and agriculture needs and conservation, not really orientated toward regulatory practices of the federal government. And I could probably elaborate on that, but I'll choose not to. It's a group I've been working with, this group on this board for going on 8 years now, and I'm thoroughly impressed not only with the expertise of Ed and his staff, but the board makeup as well. I mean, these are people that really are truly concerned about how do we make the Carson River work for farmers, agriculture, and for non-agriculture uses, and how do we try to create some kind of cohesive relationship between all of the counties that are involved in this watershed from Alpine County, California, all the way down to Churchill County, Nevada. It's a non-regulatory board. Their purpose and mission really is not to regulate, to come up with regulations, or to somehow try to get EPA and things like that tied in like you're talking about with waters of the United States. Its purpose really is to improve, create collaboration, and an example of that would be through this charter, the federal government's going to come and do certain things in areas, whether it's here, Connecticut, wherever. But they will allow a district like this through regional cooperation to say, we know these regulations are coming, but we'll let you guys at a local level make decisions in mapping and in mitigation and planning and things that you want to see happen. And then as long as they meet the criteria of FEMA and some of these other agencies, they'll accept those, as opposed to somebody in another part of the country, in Illinois or something like that, trying to do flood planning and flood mitigation here in the West that they have no idea what they're doing, but it seems to match their computer models. That's an example of what this charter might do. And another example is, I don't know how many times I've talked to this board and the public and the Planning Commission, and our team is now as well, is how do we deal with Mark Twain and the flood mitigation? We've been talking about it for 20, 30 years. And over the last couple of years, especially since some of those last events we had, those superstorms, we're taking that seriously. We want to not only plan for flooding in Mark Twain, but we want to actually put mitigation in place. This charter is an engaging mechanism that will actually allow us to tie into Ed's resources, his team, his availability for funding that we may not have accessibility directly, so we can actually get that plan, get it done, and maybe actually start building things down there in the next five-year period to help those folks out. So that's what this whole charter is about. We don't like it, we leave, we're done with it. There's escape clauses, it's not a tricky contract to get out of, and I think I'm done. But thank you, Mr. James, and thank you, Commissioners.
Okay. How about if we open it up for public comment? Well, this is the staff's recommendation to go ahead and accept this. So, Commissioners, can I get a motion?
I'll make the motion. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Lance Gilman, hereby motion for Story County to become a signatory to the FEMA Risk Charter of the Carson Water Subsequent Service District, CWSD, now existing between the CWSD, Federal Emergency Management Authority, FEMA, Region 9, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, USACE, U.S. Geological Survey, USGS, U.S. Department of the Interior Bureau of Reclamation, USBR, State NFIP Coordinator, State Hazard Mitigation Office, and other partners listed in the charter to identify assets, communicate, and plan for flood risks within the Carson River watershed, including portions within Story County, including but not limited to Virginia City, Gold Hill, American Flats, and Mark Twain.
I'll second that motion.
All right. It's been moved to second that Story County become a signatory on this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. To Jack vote?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. James, for coming up.
Thank you, Dave. Look forward to next month seeing you.
Very good.
Commissioners, Mr. Chairman, before you move on to item number 9, which discusses water quality in Lockwood, there is an error only in the assembly of your packet, or potentially mine and the chairman's, does not have a separate tab for this. The documentation to support this item actually is in the back of the conservancy action that we just had. So if you flip to the tab marked courthouse parking and just move forward of that rather than behind it, you will find the support documentation that we have.
Okay. Did you find it? So is this a parking lot? These last three pages here.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. You find it, Jack?
No.
Okay.
Okay, next up on our agenda today is item number 9. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is water quality in Lockwood, requested by Larry Huddleston. So, Larry, if you'll come up to the podium, identify yourself for the record.
My name is Larry Huddleston. Please excuse my voice. It happened. I think the simplest way to deal with this is to actually go through the timeline. I've got some changes that are on probably the timeline that you guys have in your packet. And if you would like, I would like to see those. I can hand those out. One addition from last night. So I will give each of you, this is the latest and greatest timeline.
Okay, go ahead and hold on your testimony until you're back at the microphone. Otherwise, it won't get recorded.
Yeah,
downstairs.
Extra for the court. Good move.
Oh. Pretty tricky, huh? Forgot the bad throat.
Very great.
I'll do ballet next.
Yeah, he's added to it.
I did add some items, and I changed some items. This thing all started out on June 7th. We got some brown water. I went and had it tested, and it was high in manganese and iron. Well, on the 8th, there was actually Lockwood, for you that are not familiar with Lockwood, there's Lockwood, which is the lower, and there's LCC, which are the trailers up above. Someone from the trailers was having a problem, and so she ended up in the hospital and had, she was 10 weeks pregnant, was suffering some discomfort. So she went into the hospital or the emergency room, and I do have a release from her. And they basically found out that she had a bacterial infection, a waterborne bacterial infection. So they went out to UNR, went out to the person's house and took a sample, tested it. And there's a lot of detail I'm not going to get into, but basically it was high in bacteria, and the arsenic was right at the edge of being dangerous. So, let's just, I'm not going to do the larger thing on the timeline. So, at one point, the GID had said, there's not a problem. We don't have a problem. And then they sent out a notice that says, oh, we got a problem. It's 40 to 50 houses. And then several days later, they said it was 35 houses. One of those notices basically said, if you have brown water, then run it for an hour, everything wide open, and there will be no overage charges. Almost everybody I know that had brown water and had overage charges has to pay their overage charges. And apparently they based that on whether you had regularly used more water and acquired overage charges. And they basically said, call us, we'll come out. On August 9th, somebody came out and complained about water. They talked to me. And I said, call. So someone, I got a Facebook post that basically says that someone came out and that person accused them of capping the water and then turning those faucets on and letting it go, which caused them to have brown water. I've been working with Mr. Gilman on this. So, on August 21st, the problem is solved, guys. It's all solved. We're good. August 21st. Here's a bathtub. That's a picture of a bathtub somebody sent me. I'll leave this picture with you. Problem solved, right? And then the EPA came to one of the GID meetings, and I've got all these reports here. They're not all here, but I've got all these reports. And I talked to the state people. They were unaware of the report that I had, and all of a sudden their body language changed. They were there to support the GID and say, everything is fine. But then when they got my report, funny, after that, they issued a document. This document is to the GID. It tells who was there. And it says there are significant deficiencies. Gave them things to do, dates to do them by, and when to report. This is a magic letter. Not a lot of people have this letter. Why doesn't all of Lockwood have this letter? So, last night at the candidate forum, one of the GID people running for office said the words, and this has to do with the flushing of the system. The flushing of the system from the wells, which the GID is responsible for. One of the work persons said, it would be a waste of water to flush the system. On page 3 of 3, it says, you will develop and apply a flushing system. Almost a direct defiance of what the EPA was there. Why am I here? People are afraid to talk to GID. Almost everybody that talks to me basically thinks that if they complain, that the GID is going to shut their water off. And no matter what the words I say, I can't convince them of that. So, what I'm here to do, I understand that Tri had an issue with our water, and it was solved. I need your help. I love the community. I love all the people. And there doesn't seem to be any urgency and or care to do anything about it. I just recently heard about a water report that says that the water was great. Now, if I were in the position, I would blast that thing all over the community and say, we are okay. Nobody's seen it. So what I'm asking you to do is to help me and Lockwood to make sure that we have healthy water. Right now, we're sitting at idle at 0.8 arsenic, and 0.10 is undrinkable. So what does that mean? We're right near the edge. This can be solved. There are ways to do it. So what I'm asking the commissioners and the county officials to do is to make it so our water is safe. I mean, at this point, I just put $3,100 worth of water treatment in my house. I can do that. There's a lot of people that can't. And so I need your help in making sure that this water is safe. That's all I ask. You guys did a great job helping us keeping the multi-family whatevers off of Mustang. I appreciate that. But I need your help to make sure that we have safe drinking water. And there is actually some openness about it. I mean, we know nothing. This letter's like top secret. Nobody got it. I had to call and ask for it. So, that's what I got to say. Are there any questions?
I do have a question for you, Larry. You're mentioning that some of these levels are elevated. Did they come back and say any of them were unacceptable or dangerous?
No.
Because at that point, would they go to a boil order or something like that?
I don't know. I'm not a chemist. Yeah. All I know is that the trust factor for the GID now is not good, and there's also a fear factor. If I complain, they're going to shut my water off, and I can't say enough words to convince them other than that. We had a water problem. They refused to acknowledge that it was there. Then they acknowledged it. Then they acknowledged it again. And then when someone actually did the process that they were supposed to do, that person was accused of doing it intentionally. Something's just not right here.
Okay.
May I chime in for just a minute? Before the public comment, I want to assure Mr. Huddleston, Commissioner Gilman drew my attention to that letter earlier this morning. And it is no longer a secret. As of about 3 minutes ago, it
Thank
was
you.
Forwarded to the county clerk as a matter of record since it was discussed and presented at this meeting, as well as to all three commissioners and the district attorney.
So, good. I think the other thing that concerns me is that the EPA knew nothing of my letter, my testing, but yet the GID had that report. So I think they're not the only ones not getting all the information. We aren't. Our Lockwood isn't, but I don't think they are either.
So you didn't send your test results to the EPA. You simply gave them to the GID.
I gave them to the GID, and I gave them to the EPA at the meeting.
You gave it to the EPA, but they don't show if they have any record of it?
They had no record of it. They had never seen it.
Up until that point?
Up until I handed it to Christine or whatever her name is.
Okay, why would there be any reason they would have it until you gave it to them?
There may not be a reason.
Okay.
But I think if I were running a company and I were having someone come in and defend me, not an attorney, but a state organization, I would at least want them to know that there may be something else out there, not to blindside them.
Larry, is it probable that there's been a follow-up letter from NDEP
which basically certified that the water is potable and safe? Is there a recent document from NDEP that you're aware of?
I don't know. I have to call and ask for this stuff and beg for it. It doesn't come out everywhere, that's for sure. And if the GID got it, where is it?
What's the date on that letter?
August 26th, I believe.
August 26th. I can, it's out there, right?
And so have you called to ask for any other information since then?
No. In fact, I was hoping that they would be here so that I could talk to them, because they're very hard to get rid of, or are hard to get a hold of.
It's a poison stuff.
It probably.
Well, if you don't want them around, they're hard to get rid of.
Yeah. Probably more right.
Okay. Well, so anyway, how about if we ask a gentleman from the GID to come up and maybe respond to these allegations?
That sounds wonderful, because I want to hear it. And here's the other thing I'd like to ask. Is I've been reading about open meeting laws. Keep in mind, I've got 7 or 8 tests. There's no way for me to summarize in an email. I would like to sit down with someone and show them test results and explain and all of that stuff. Is there a way for me to do that for one of you guys or two of you guys? Is there a way to do it?
Yeah, may I respectfully suggest, Larry, that we set some time aside with Commissioner Gilman and myself.
Okay.
We're well connected with NDEP, and we can certainly, I couldn't extract from your request any actionable item at this stage. There's an awful lot of jurisdictional things we have to assess, you know, what the county government's role is as opposed to the GID.
I understand
certainly,
that.
You know, as staff and as an individual commissioner, I'm sure Commissioner Gilman and I would be more than happy to sit down and review that and follow your lead as to whether or not you'd like representatives from the GID there as well or not.
So, I have nothing to hide.
Okay.
I have quantitative results.
Okay. Thank you. Mitch and Jim, both of you or one of you, you want to come up and...
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for coming up.
Good morning. Commissioner, members of the commission, my name is Mitch Andrini. I'm the manager of Tandy General Improvement District. We are responsible for water, sewer, streets, and storm drain. Jim Cottrell is the chairman of the board for the Tandy General Improvement District. And I will start off very quickly. If the water was unsafe in Canyon GID, the NDEP would be all over it, and Bureau of Safe Drinking Water. We obviously are under requirement to do a certain amount of testing, which we do, and we're doing it monthly right now. If there was an issue with any of those results, they would be making us boil the water. Iron and manganese, as you guys know in the water business, is not considered a contaminant or a health hazard for human consumption. It's considered aesthetics in the water. We're not denying that we had an issue with rust-colored water. I had 10 people call my office. That was it. I estimated in the letter that I sent out that some people probably didn't call, so I put 20 or 30 or whatever was in the letter. We can't shut off anybody's water. That's ridiculous. But where did that come from? Nope. Larry Huddleston did not give me any results. Said the water was safe. He never handed me anything, and to this day, he's never talked to me about it. We treat for naturally occurring iron and manganese there. We have a state of the water, art water plant. You guys know that. We got a loan or a grant and a loan from the USDA to put it in. It's pretty clean water. It's almost drinkable right out of the ground. Of course, we fulfill the requirements for chlorine and we treat for iron and manganese. And one of the byproducts of that is we treat for arsenic. That will cover arsenic also if there is any, which we don't have an issue with. We do bacteria samples. Nobody ever got a hold of us. Why didn't they call the NDP? The NDP and Bureau of Safe Drinking Water is who regulates us. They'd be all over it. We've been taking probably 15 or 20 results covering everything that water has to offer and have no issues. But like I said, we're not denying that it happened. We're under the assumption it was due to a fire hydrant opening when they were fighting fires. It only affected a small portion of the community. If there was an issue with the water plant, it's a loop system, everybody would be having that issue. Rust-colored water is a common occurrence. Yarrington was on the TV with their water system here about 2 months ago on Channel 4. I saw it. Same issue, fire hydrants being open. I have it in Reno. I look in my toilet every once in a while. It's rust-colored. The reason we say to flush is because usually after half an hour of flushing the water, it goes away. Obviously, I wouldn't want to drink it either, and I understand people's concerns. But that's why we sent out the notice. It wasn't an emergency. But it's just frankly BS that, you know, we're going to shut off their water. We have two full-time employees at Canyon GID. One part-time employee and a bookkeeper. And we do it for a decent rate structure for the place. We go on our past record of results, our current record, and our future record. We haven't had issues. We're not perfect, but it certainly wasn't deliberate that we have rust-colored water in the system. And he does not have a report that says the water was unsafe. When we go to we had 10 people call us, and that was it. Each one of them we responded to. We open we get a beaker or a clear container. We open up the faucet, not in the house, because we don't know what kind of filtration system they have or if they're having an issue with their water heater. And if it comes out clear, I mean, that's basically all we can do. But our results, that's the word I'm looking for, I'm not sure, but that's how you tell. We don't publish everything, but we're an open book. It's all on record. If anybody would call, it has an issue, I'd be happy to show them the results. We're not hiding anything.
When you say that you test monthly, is that the normal procedure?
Quarterly, usually, for iron and manganese, but since we have the rust-colored water... we're testing monthly now due to that report. We have time to respond to that report. There's dates in there, guys. I have Far West Engineering is coming up with a flushing program. But understand, once you do a flushing program, that reintroduces iron and manganese into the system again, because over the course of years, it builds up on the inside of pipes. So we don't just rush and start doing a flushing program. That has to be engineered. Certain valves have to be open. Certain valves have to be closed. And I wanted to say your fire department chief, Gary Ames, is here, is on board with us. We're going to try to work with him and get a flushing program going. That's all. Do you have any questions for me? I mean, it wasn't deliberate. There's no way we can shut off people's water. I don't know where that comes from.
When you test water quality, do you test at the wellhead or at the where you receive the water, or do you test at the end consumer, at the faucet, or both?
Both.
Test both.
We have a couple of approved, and these are all approved by the NDEP,
sure.
Bureau of Safe Drinking Water, these sites. Both. We have two addresses in the neighborhood, and we do it at the wellheads.
So you go to private residences and test their water there?
Well, we do ones at the senior center. Mr. Huddleston was saying it was the upper section of Lockwood, and then we do one inside the neighborhood.
Are you familiar with the letter that came out, I think, on or about August 26th, from NDEP with recommendations or suggestions for the GID?
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we responded back to the first one. Since this time, we had our sanitary survey, which is the NDEP comes out and checks all the facilities. And they make recommendations. Obviously, you know, they're going to find a rusted valve or a tank lid that needs a new gasket, and that's what's on some of that stuff. And, you know, and the standard stuff, they want emergency response plan updated. And any updates to the map or results, sampling of the water, if there's any changes. We're not hiding from anything from them. They're not hiding anything from us.
Have you ever been threatened with a show cause hearing by NDP to lose certification or anything like that?
No. Understand, I mean, they're not our enemies. They're here to make sure that we're doing our job and that the water is safe, and that's what we like to do also.
I think in the interest of the community that Safe Water Flint, Michigan certainly found out what it's like to make a mistake and has kind of set a precedent nationally, but it would seem to me that this could be pretty easily resolved, at least in the early going, if we were to set a meeting with Larry and Pat and myself and you folks. We can look at the records and the information that he has collected versus where you folks are. And let's sit and put a communication meeting together.
Sure.
And perhaps we can kind of vet the whole subject matter.
And I, since this is not agenda, since it's an action item, I'd be happy to go ahead and coordinate that.
Sure.
Again, I'll work directly with Mr. Huddleston on scheduling. We'll find a facility that's convenient to hold it. Determine whether or not it's beneficial or not to have the GID there, which I would think it would be. I mean, this sounds like really what's lacking at this point is information. If we can get that information out there, then we can go from there. And I'll probably also bring our public works director and our water treatment supervisor with us to that meeting, just as kind of like our subject matter experts. I know I turn on the tap and wet stuff comes out. That's about all I know. So I'll probably bring Mike and Johnny with us as well, so we have a full team.
At last night's debate in Lockwood, in Rainbow Bend, I asked a question to the group there. There's about probably about 50 people there, look like. I asked the question, how many people actually have dirty water at this moment? And one raised their hand right away. One was a little hesitant, but I only saw two hands. But when I asked the question of how many have had dirty water, you know, about half of them raised their hand. So, and, you know, I know that that's happened to me in Reno years ago, where the water system gets disturbed or something, and, yeah, it gets, yeah. So, but can you... Would you have an idea why only two people would have dirty water? Could it be something in their system at their house?
Well,
I don't know. You know,
I heard you ask that, and I didn't realize it was you, but thank you. Yeah. And I turned around, if you noticed, when I said, I'll personally come out to your house.
Yes.
And the guy that's running for office, I think his name's Mr. Sullivan, said, well, it's gone away. I mean, this morning I said, well, wow, a couple people have dirty water. I said there, please call the office. Guess what? How many calls I had this morning about dirty water? Zero.
So do you know why that might happen?
A couple of things. Your water heater, the anode rod in there can be disintegrating. Your own filtration system can be dirty. Your own pipes can be dirty. You may have a broken pipe in the ground in your lateral.
Thank you.
Are there any residents from Lockwood who would like to talk on the subject? Anyone else? Public comment from anyone who'd like to talk on the water subject? None? Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Mr. Huddleston, for coming up.
Thank you.
Next up, item number 10, discussion of possible action. Approve an award of a contract for improvements to the courthouse parking lot, project number ST-2015-197, to the bidder submitting the most qualified bid.
Mr. Commissioners, Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. Chuck Reno is here from Far West to introduce and address this subject, and I would turn it over to Mr. Reno.
Chuck Reno, Far West Engineering, for the record. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. A little bit about this project, a little history. As you know, a year ago this project came before you and it was awarded and then subsequently withdrawn because of some legal issues there, but it's gone back out to bid. And so on September 3rd at 2 p.m., September 13th at 2 p.m., we did a mandatory pre-bid meeting here inside the parking lot to discuss the project. It's a redoing the parking lot out here to about 75 stalls. There'll be some lighting, some electrical issues, some landscaping, and a block wall, a little 4-foot block wall around the perimeter of it on the inside. On the next day, the 14th, I issued addendum number 1, which addressed some of the questions the bidders had. There were 17 persons present for that mandatory walk, including myself, Mike Nevin, and Austin of the 17. On September, we issued the addendum. There was 8 questions that were clarified at the meeting. On September 22nd at 11:30, we had the bid opening in the Far West office in Reno, and it was conducted by myself. And later that day, I issued the bid tab around 3:45 to all the contractors, which showed how the bids came out. There were 7 bidders, which is a great number of bidders, and we had a good showing there. We had a base bid amount, and then we had an alternate, and the base bid averaged around $360,000. The alternate amount averaged around $118,000. The alternate was the paving of it. So everything else was the construction, and then we had the paving. The following day, I did my due diligence. I called the references for the lowest responsible bidder, Peak Brothers, and they came out good. I also did an investigation into MKD, the second bidder, as well. And then on Monday, the 26th, I issued a recommendation of award to Peak Brothers in the amount of base bid plus alternate for $439,196, and you should have that in your packet. The base bid amount was $330,468. And the alternate was $108,728. And there was other concerns, and maybe I'll leave the legal to talk about those other concerns, but otherwise that was our recommendation. Far West recommendation is to award it to Peak Brothers, the lowest responsive bidder.
One of the issues that came up during the process was the fact that MKD Construction, their bid was within 5% of the bid of Peak Brothers. That meant that if they could receive a preference for their bid, that they could potentially, their bid would be considered better than Peak Brothers. The preference that they sought was a Nevada employment preference, which requires that they submit an affidavit saying they will comply with the Nevada preference requirements within 2 hours of completing the bid opening. That affidavit was not submitted to Far West or to the county within 2 hours of the bid opening. About 24 hours later, Far West received a letter from Jeff Spencer, who is a lawyer in Reno, representing MKD Construction, in which he submitted the affidavit stating that, well, yes, we know we're late, but it's a de minimis problem. So we want you to go ahead and consider MKD Construction as the as having a preference, and that their bid should then be treated as the best bid. I discussed this with Mr. Spencer last Friday and indicated to him, look, there's two arguments. There's your argument that despite the fact that you're late, that's only de minimis, it's not a problem, we should go ahead and consider it. The other argument would be from Peak Brothers saying, well, they didn't get their affidavit in time. And ours would be the best bid if it were not for a preference to be given to MKD Construction. And my response basically to Mr. Spencer is that, look, of the two arguments, I prefer Peak Brothers' argument more so than the fact that you guys did not comply with the statutory requirement to get your affidavit in with 2 hours. And so I'm supporting the recommendation from Far West.
Mr. Loomis, may I?
Go ahead.
Could you potentially clarify, because I'm a little confused, I was searching for the bid summaries. When you reference the 5% on the bid, that was on the base bid, correct? That was not on the overall bid?
That's right.
That's correct.
Okay. Any other questions on this?
Do you have any questions?
Yeah.
No.
Any public comment regarding the parking lot improvements with Peak Brothers? Staff and legal counsel's recommendation that Peak Brothers be awarded the contract?
Yes.
That is correct.
Is that Peak as in P-E-A-K?
P-E-E-K.
P-E-E-K. Right. All right. Let's get a motion to approve this contract.
I'll make a motion. In accordance with the applicable federal, state, and county regulations and the recommendations for approval by staff, I, Commissioner Lance Gilman, motion to approve an award of the contract for the improvement to the courthouse parking lot, project number ST-215-197, to the Peak, is that proper? Peak Construction Company?
Peak Brothers.
Peak Brothers.
Submit at Peak Brothers, submitting the most qualified bid.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, so the move is second to approve this contract to Peak Brothers. The total amount was $439,196. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Sure. Okay. The recommendation, we're going to take about a 10-minute recess before we move on.
When's it going to be done?
You want to start quickly. Yeah. Weather.
Yeah, yeah.